Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Let's be clear about one thing, Steve Bursnick. It is the uniforms. There's no other explanation. I don't care that they're playing the Chicago White Sox, who are still, notwithstanding being swept by them, you know, last week, the worst team in baseball. And even the New York Mets aren't going that well. But when you win four in a row after you put on some new threads, sorry.
Look good, feel good, play good.
Can't take them off, man.
But there could be one other. It could be one other explanation.
What's that?
Johnny DeLuca for MVP. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Ten ribeye steaks in the first four games. First Ray ever to do that.
We heard it here first, and we're hearing it a lot after this podcast, trust me. MVP.
I texted you during – I was at the game.
Yes.
And I texted you after his first RBIs.
Yes, you did.
Said, Johnny DeLuca, MVP. And then he came up and hit a home run, and I said, I repeat, Johnny DeLuca, MVP.
Boy, went yad, wicked fa. I'll tell you what, it's not been a bad, what, four games for Johnny DeLuca with his 10 RBI.
Although I'd like to see him catch a ball every once in a while.
Yeah, that would be good. Hey, what is the deal? Are they playing like it's 7-on-7 in the outfield now where you can just intercept the pass or something? Like what? I thought that the center fielder was a center fielder because he had precedent over anybody. Like if he could go to left center, he could go to right center. But it's kind of like, you know, anything he can get to, he's supposed to take. Am I wrong about that? Have they changed that axiom?
I don't know. When I watched tonight, I saw Randy Arozarena take a couple from him. I saw Josh Lowe take. I thought maybe they thought Siri was still back there and they were afraid he'd drop it.
Hey-o. Yeah. I saw a lot of empty gloves on Johnny DeLuca. But that's okay because, you know, you hit the ball, so you don't have to catch the ball. You just have to stand out there and watch other guys run in front of you and catch it. It's been an amazing week for him. And, you know, here's the thing about, I mean, if DeLuca doesn't get hurt, he's on this baseball team.
Right? Oh, he was on the four. Yeah, he was going to be on the opening day roster. I mean, yeah. he was supposed to be the fourth outfielder.
Yeah, you're the guy you got part of the deal, Tyler Glasnow from the Dodgers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you traded Glasnow and Margot.
Yeah.
And you got back younger versions, basically, in DeLuca and Pepio.
There you go.
And DeLuca was going to be on the opening day roster. He was going to be the fourth outfielder, but probably everyone's playing a little bit. Of course, Josh Lowe and he both got hurt, so neither one were on the opening day roster.
Yeah.
Which is part of the crunch the Rays have had and the makeshift lineups and the issues of players playing more than they should, et cetera, and maybe playing out of position some too. In the Glasnow trade, they got him back. They got rid of Margot for him. He's a key part of this organization. They expect him to do well. Maybe not 10 RBI in first four games, which you'll gladly take when you were, you know, struggling, you know, when lost 5 of 6 going into the homestand. And now since you put on the new threads and Johnny DeLuca was activated, you're 4-0.
That's all that matters, babe. You know, what's funny is, and I guess this might be true in a lot of sports, but it's more true in baseball than anything. And I played it at a very low level in college. But when I say low level, it was Division I. But here's the thing. When you're going well in baseball, more than maybe any other sport that I've been around, and I've covered them all, and of course I've covered the NFL, and I didn't cover the NBA, so I don't know about that. College basketball for sure. But just being around sports in general. Look, a lot of athletes are superstitious, right? Pete Maravich wore the same socks, right? All that stuff. You hear all the tales. But in baseball, because it's a failure sport, right? Because that the greatest players in the world fail 7 out of 10 times. Like you have to, there's something you have to do to bury that inside you. I can't describe it, you know? And for as much as like you say, well, it's a team sport. Nah, it's really not. It really isn't. Because, you know, you're part of a team, right? And you play as a team. But in the end, it's you. At in the batter's box against the guy throwing the ball. There's nobody on the bench that's going to help you, right? There's nobody in the coaching box that's going to help you. It's you against that guy. Oh, and by the way, no one else can throw the ball off the mound but him either. Okay, he's by himself. So that's a one-on-one confrontation, right? Then when you play in the field, yes, it's true that you can team up for things like a double play or a relay to get somebody out. Like that's execution, right? That's, you know, a couple throws and being in position to get the relay and that stuff. There is teamwork involved. But at the end of the day, if you're playing the infield and a ball is hit to you, right, it's you. It's nobody. The third baseman is rarely going to come over and cut you off, make the play for you. Now, it certainly happened to Luca the other night. But, you know, it's an individual sport. And so it's interesting that, you know, the guy goes and plays center field and they won't let him play his field. But that's fine. Randy and Josh Lowe. By the way, welcome back, Josh Lowe, with a couple of knocks, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was doing well in AAA in his rehab assignment and picked up right where he left off, got a hit the first at-bat. And, you know, this is – you're starting to see the roster now fill out kind of what you were expecting opening day.
Like, that's right.
You have your your outfielders, you know, mm-hmm. starting, but you've yep. got a Rosarini, you got Siri, you've got Lowe, you've got DeLuca there. Mm-hmm. And you're starting to get guys back a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see the lineup wake up some, which is good. I mean, Yandy Diaz is having better at bats. Randy Rosarena's having better
at-bats. No doubt. They've had a great homestand, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so and I think some of it is some of these guys coming in the lineup too. It adds some protection, it lengthens the lineup. I mean, DeLuca batting right ahead of Yandy Diaz and Randy Rosarena helps them. As he's in the nine spot batting around, you know, it all helps. And if Yandy and Randy continue to improve their at-bats, they're not back yet, but much better at-bats in that. And Yandy tonight was running harder than I've seen. Like, he must feel pretty good, his legs. There was one at-bat he beat out. It was a double play attempt, but he was flying down the line. It was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good to see if he's running that way. So,
mm-hmm.
Randy stole a base. He's 6-for-6 this year. In stolen bases.
Yeah, no. Look, they lead the mm-hmm. league in stolen bases. Which
but you
is
remember how many times last year he got thrown out? He's 6-for-6 this year.
A ton. So yeah, yeah. No, that's good. That's really good. And Josh Lowe, of course, is a prolific base stealer as mm-hmm. well. He didn't get thrown out very much. Had over 30 steals last year. Look, it's awesome. I like the Rays. I like watching the Rays. And if they were playing Whitey Herzog's 80-something Cardinals, they would be right in it. unfortunately, small ball does not play these days, man. It just doesn't. I mean, here's the thing. They've had the best 4 days of their season, right? They've not mm-hmm. won four in a row until now. And they haven't done it against stellar teams, although I think the Mets have – plenty of high-priced talent, quite frankly, that should have come in here and not gotten swept. So I give the Rays credit for that.
Well, I mean, you went and you walked off on – well, you tied it up against the maybe the best closer in baseball or one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good things out of that Mets series. That Mets have some talent, and they're a
yeah, but you know team. What I mean? They're like you had the one game with that you hit finally in, mm-hmm. on Friday, and then you had the walk-off, like the kind yep. of the bases-loaded walk-a-thon, right? Like that, good at-bats, but you know, you win a close game. But no, a sweep is a sweep. It's a major league team. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they needed to do. Now they're back to .500, right? They're not in last place in the American League East, by the way. So all those things are really, really positive. And nobody at the end of the year, nobody says, hey, how did you what was the score? Did you score a lot of runs against those? And it's just like, give me the record, man.
Yep.
You know, did you win 90? Did you win 100? It doesn't matter.
Like, it stinks to get swept in Chicago.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they just count number of wins. They don't say who'd you get them against.
That's right. And so you have a chance to come back, sweep Chicago. You already swept the New York Mets. And so this homestand could be very, very, very profitable for them.
And you know well, what? And then after the Mets or after the White Sox, you get 13 straight games against the AL East.
Yeah, and that's when the rubber meets the road, I think, at least this part of the season. It's one thing to have a bad April, you know, and May has started off pretty damn good. And it is, you know, there's plenty of Mets after May as well. But to go to run the gauntlet through the AL East and not play well, I think that would put a bite into them a little bit. Like, they need to be competitive. They need to win at least as many as they lose. And that's coming up. But the good news is they're playing well. And so you might get a little boost from that. You might get a little momentum, you know, and all that stuff matters. And so I watch this team. I see a lot of flaws. I don't think they're great defensively.
Well, they're bottom five in baseball defensively, so they're definitely not great.
That's an understatement. Yeah, like I said, like they're not like a lot of things they do is not in sort of the Rays DNA, you know. But what they do is fight you, and you know, good for them. They easily could have tanked or, you know, woe is me, but they came home for this homestand and they beat a really talented Mets team, swept them, and you know, they're off to a good start, you know, in this next series. So we'll see. They're coming back. They're right in it. You might get Shane Boz back. I guess he started a rehab down in Durham too.
I expect Taj Bradley to come up.
Taj Bradley. Like those things are huge. And the funny thing about it is, you know, everybody was talking about Caminero, right? That's who they want up here.
Junior Caminero, yep.
And so and listen, he's been wearing it out in AAA. But what's interesting to me is that you can bring up a couple players and not necessarily the guys, not necessarily Caminero, but you can bring up some guys and lo and behold, they're the ones that, you know, infuse some life into your lineup, right? Johnny DeLuca, like, and he would have made the 40 man and all that, but just fresh blood, guys that want to succeed, guys that expect to succeed. And then, you know, they go out there and nobody's going to necessarily have 10 RBIs in four games. You can't predict that. But whoever it is, that's their dream, right? That's why they have worked so hard to get to the major leagues. And, you know, DeLuca was supposed to be here on opening day. He had a setback. Josh Lowe, you know, his first game back. Like, these are major league players, and when you add them, you know, to your lineup, you get that bounce. It doesn't have to be the superstar or somebody coming through. It just, you know, they're going to come up here and they're going to want to rip it. They're going to want to succeed. And I think, you know, just those couple additions have made a big difference to their whole team.
It's made a difference, and you wonder if the season wouldn't have got off to a different start had they been on the roster at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Of the
I think you have to say it would. I mean, you know, Lowe is one of their best hitters and a left-handed bat on a team that has no left-handed bats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Ronda's so, down, Brendan Lau's down, Josh Lowe was down. Like, yeah, they don't have left-handed bats, and that's been a problem.
No, so it absolutely would have made a difference, and it did make a difference, you know, on Monday night. So, hey, good for them, man. Like, let's keep it going. If you're the Rays, and especially if you created those uniforms, like, you're sitting back going, uh-huh, see, man, I told you they would fly. Like, you know, the skateboarders love it. The young kids love it. I love the hats more than I do the uniforms. But if you think that they're going to take those things off right now, there's no way. There is no way.
Yeah, apparently... Apparently, from what I understand, they had to get baseball's permission to wear them tonight because they weren't scheduled.
Oh, they did. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know how that process works. And there's, you know,
because the White Sox have uniforms that are dark and similar to theirs, I would imagine.
They're home uniforms. I don't think they wear those on the road usually. But
okay.
But yeah, so I'm assuming that they're wearing them tonight as well. And, you know, until
they
lose,
don't, it's a damn mistake. Yeah. I mean, you know, I ate. You know how they have those breaded clams shells? Like, I don't know if they still sell them. I think they do. Like, you go in the frozen food section, and you have these clam shells, right? And they're in the frozen food section, and they're actual clam shells, and they're breaded with the clam stuffing inside. And for whatever reason, back in the day, my family bought these things, and they were not exactly, you know, dinner fare. But, like, I ate a couple of those and went out and had a good game. I ate those for about 2 weeks because that was about as long as I could stay hot. But like my mom wouldn't even ask me. She knew that I did not want to eat anything else. Remember Wade Boggs was a guy that had to have chicken every night, and mm-hmm. then he had to like go yep. onto the field at a certain time of the night if it was a 7 o'clock game, and he'd have to leap over the baseline at a certain time, you know, yep. to not hit the chalk with his feet. Like he had all these superstitions. One of the greatest players of all time, Hall of Famer, all of that.
I remember a pitcher, I think it was Ben McDonald, that would eat mustard sardines before every game.
Oh, yeah.
It was
disgusting. But you know what happened? One day, without planning it, he had sardines, and he went out there and was lights out. And guess what? That guy was going to have sardines the rest of his life.
Yep.
You know, I hate liver, but if I ate liver one night and had three or four knocks, I promise you I would eat liver every night until it didn't happen. And I'd be probably glad when it didn't happen because I can go back to eating regular stuff. But at the end of the day, you do not mess with it, right? You put your socks on the same way. Hell, there's a lot of athletes in other sports too. Pete Maravich, you know, other guys who just wouldn't change their socks. Like I'm just saying, superstition is there for a reason because it removes this element of chance, right? It's like, hey, everything is the same. I didn't affect the mojo, right? Like I didn't tempt the gods here. I did everything what I've been doing, and that's pretty much what superstition is about. It's so that you absolve yourself of any responsibility if something goes wrong. It's funny to me, but it's not even a discussion. Like if you have to petition Major League Baseball, you do so. Like you have to keep wearing these uniforms. Would it be wild, Steve, if this team won 14, 15? Go after the A's record 20 in a row. Like it'd be the biggest story.
Well, and it would be great because a lot of those games are against the AL East, so you'd be making up ground in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, you would. I mean, record aside, and where you'd be in the standings and all that. Imagine the story about these uniforms, like you know,
which is funny because it reminds me this year in hockey, the Red Wings. So you know, teams are starting to put jersey patches on or. Sponsors on jerseys.
Like sponsors, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the Red Wings unveiled their jersey sponsor.
Yeah.
And went out and lost like 7 in a row. Well, but the funnier part of it is their jersey sponsor is a waste management company.
Oh. Hey-o.
So, you know.
You guys are absolute garbage.
Yeah, their season went in the garbage when they put the patch on there. And so, you know, and the company started taking heat for it. Like, you know, you're the reason we're losing.
As well they should.
Et cetera. Because the jersey patch went on, they lost 7 in a row afterwards. You know, hilarious. Well, the Rays unveiled new City Connect uniforms, and if they, you know, let's go set the record 20 in a row, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, well, as long as you're connecting with the baseball, I mean, that's sort of what they're doing. But I wouldn't take them off. I mean,
look. And by the way, those jerseys are selling like hotcakes. They're just lines at the store all weekend.
Well, I wondered about that because when I was there on Friday, the first night they wore them. We went by one of the smaller team areas, and it was packed, and people were lined up, you know. And I checked in on a hat. I don't know if they had my size because I got a bucket head. But I think, if memory serves, they were selling for around $50 a hat, which somehow
that's
I thought
was... That's pretty commonplace for hats.
Is that normal?
Between 40 and 50, yep, that's pretty common.
So I didn't know if I went to Lids if I would do better. Yeah. I probably should have just bought the damn thing. I didn't. And again, it's not so much that like, oh, Rays, I'm a big Rays fan. It's just that I love the hat. The hat's awesome. Mm-hmm. Being from here to see a Skyway Bridge as part of a hat, like it's wild. So spent a lot of time under that bridge fishing, believe me. But I think they did a nice job, a really nice job with these uniforms in terms of what they're trying to accomplish. And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised they're flying off the shelves. And hey, if you kind of win a bunch of games in them, that don't help neither, you know, like that does not hurt because people want to be associated with winners and those are winning uniforms right now. So hey, good for the Rays, man. They're, you know, I don't know. You could say that they've turned it around, but they're 500. They're not in last place. I think last time I checked, they were about 5 or 6 games out of first place, something like that. That might've been before their win. It's great for them.
Well, and meanwhile, don't forget a couple years ago, they scuffled at the beginning of the season. They started 19-19.
Yes,
they won 100 games.
100.
This team has scuffled and got to 18-18.
Okay. And they're going to win 100 games.
Well, I don't know if they're going to, but they did. They've done this before, where they scuffled for the first month and a half.
Yeah.
and then got hot.
Yeah.
Can this team do that? We'll see.
Well, I don't see why not.
If they do, Johnny DeLuca will be the MVP.
Oh, he will. We got to come up with a nickname for Johnny, though. Like, you know, it's got to be something we can
do. There's already a lot of Johnny B. Goods, so he's kind of taking Tyler Johnson's.
Yeah, music. I was asking you before the podcast, like, who is the guy in the Lightning? I know it was somebody named Johnson or Johnny or something like that, and it was Tyler Johnson, and he certainly had his run. It's a great song for somebody with that name, but yeah, they probably need to invest in a few bats and hopefully get some guys healthy. But so far, so good, man. 4-game winning streak, back to 500, out of last place. Like, a lot of things positive over there with the Rays.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Also, some positive things with the Buccaneers. This was interesting because, you know, last week we talked to the defensive coaches, assistants, that is, last Monday, I believe it was, Monday or Tuesday. And then on Monday, we had a chance to talk to the offensive coaches. And that included Liam Cohen, their new offensive coordinator, who is no stranger to Baker Mayfield. He had him for about 5 weeks with the L.A. Rams before the season ended. And then Cohen went back to the University of Kentucky. Now he's with the Bucs. And we were just kind of asking him, like, okay, where are you right now? Like, in terms of install, participation, you know, are you behind the eight ball, ahead of it? And he just said, hey, you know what? We've been installing and teaching a new offense. And, you know, as far as Baker goes, he kind of knows a lot of these things already because he was with the Rams for those 5 weeks a couple years ago. And, you know, really, it's just sort of everybody is finding out where they need to be, when they need to be there. And, you know, he did say, he goes, look, he goes, the football is barely hitting the ground. Like, we're really, you know, executing at a fairly high level, considering we've only been here for a short bit of time. But that's what you want to hear. You know, you want to hear that. You want to hear that Baker Mayfield has a chance to be maybe even better than he was. He talked a lot about Baker Mayfield and why the hell not, right? But he said that Baker Mayfield is sort of showing a calm confidence. And we know he's always been confident. Hasn't always been calm. You know, he's a very fiery guy, and they want him to play with that fire but be smarter when he runs the football and stuff like that. But, you know, when you consider that for the first time, Steven, about 4 or 5 years, he walks into this facility and he says, this is my team. And how do we know it's his team? It's because of the contract they just gave him. You know, that's how we know. Like, they're paying him to be the man, and so he is the man. And, you know, it's got to be more relaxing for him not to be in a, you know, daily competition with you know, I mean, listen, he is it's his team.
It says no open competition this year.
Well,
Kyle Trask isn't competing for 1A snaps?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, they talked about Kyle, and they like Kyle, but Kyle's in his final year, and he's it's over, right? When you give a guy $100 million or you tell him he can make up to $100 million or you guarantee him $50 million, tryouts are over. So Mayfield doesn't have to compete with Trask, and Trask doesn't have to think that he has a chance to win the job. It is what it is. Like, you're the backup, Mayfield's the starter, and probably for the next 2 to 3 years. And so they're building it around him. Which I think changes your mentality a little bit, and that's probably why they've been sort of executing on a higher level, at least according to Cohen. And the other part of it is that, you know, unlike Dave Canales, who I've always said this, I always thought Canales had more success as a head coach. I didn't know he was going to Carolina, but as a head coach than he would a coordinator, because I think that they did a lot of things that were okay last year. But one thing they couldn't do was run the ball the last 2 years. But let's just talk about last year. They had good concepts and good ideas, but against certain fronts that they would see, they would never check out of it. There was no audible. There was nothing. And if there's one thing that's going to add to Baker's plate, it's getting his team into the right play. And, you know, he's got to read the defense. He's got to kind of understand where the numbers are, if he wants to go right or left, or he wants to go to play action or whatever. And so they trust him because they say he has a real, you know, good feel for football, high IQ, that sort of thing. So it's just, it's more for Baker to do, but I think they're going to have more success too, because I think they were kind of running, you know, into numbers that they were just not going to be able to block. And the run game is the most important thing. Like if you say, what can Liam Cohen change? It's making them not the worst team running the football. I mean, you don't want to be last at that. You don't want to be last in anything, but you don't want to be last in that.
Well, that's what Dave Canales was supposed to fix.
He
found a way to make Baker Mayfield a really good NFL quarterback and mm-hmm. and did well in the offense and figured out some things late in the season, got Rashad White going more on the outside.
Got him
but
in
they
space.
Still finished yeah. last in rushing again.
Yeah. No, they did. Yeah, Rashad White is a 3.7 career average guy. That's horrible. Like, that's not even like that is unproductive. And so from that standpoint, you know, I think it's interesting that there's going to be a lot of emphasis on the offensive line, and you made some additions there. And the biggest one is Graham Barton, who's going to be right in front of Baker Mayfield. And I think that they're really high on Graham. They didn't know that he would be there necessarily, but he was. And they're going to start him at least initially in training camp at center and kind of see how it goes. And there's no doubt that, you know, he could conceivably move to guard if he needed to. I think Robert Haynes is going to be in that mix at some point. But the guy that I'm really interested in seeing, and we talked a little bit to Skip Pete about this today or yesterday when we had all the offensive coaches, is this Bucky Irving. Because when you watch him run, and he's a smallish, you know, 5'8", 5'9 guy. He's so powerful. Now, he didn't run a great time in the 40. I think he's a 4.5 guy, but that doesn't matter. It's about competitive speed and all of that. And Irving, it was nice to hear that as much as they love Rashad White, and he will get the first bite of the apple, you know, to be the starter, they're going to push Irving, and they should. And Skip Pete, you have to remember, he comes from a place in Dallas, right, where they had Ezekiel Elliott, who was established and multi-time Pro Bowler, mm-hmm. all of that. And along comes a guy they draft named Tony Pollard. And Tony Pollard, not only does he play, he ends up playing more. He makes the Pro Bowl, right? He went from backup to Pro Bowl. And that's the sort of thing, you know, you'd love to have, you know, here. But
you need two running backs in the NFL. You can't do it with one anymore.
No question. Right.
You need two, if not three, yeah. but
if not more,
you need two. You need a 1 and 1A.
That's right.
And then you need a good number two, which is actually your third. Like that's what you need in the run game now.
Yep. Yep.
In today's NFL.
Absolutely. And I got Chase Edmonds, who can be that third guy.
Exactly.
And you know, but what's you know the old iron sharpens iron thing. I don't know, just in talking to Skip, that like, yeah, Rashad's going to get the first bite of the apple. He's going to get the chance to take it over and stuff like that. But they'll go with the hot hand when they need to. And you're right, it takes two. But I really like Irving. I really think that he's going to be a special player and a guy that can do a lot of things to help you, you know, catch, block, run, obviously, all that stuff. So, yeah, it's you know. It's been a good couple, I guess, of weeks as far as this phase one, phase two of OTAs goes. We got the schedule, by the way, is expected. Now, nothing's official, and even the Bucks haven't heard for sure. But the schedule is supposed to come out Thursday night.
They would have to announce it almost today because they want to promote their...
I think today and at the latest tomorrow, but you want to promote it for a couple of days, right? And the thing that I'm told might be holding it up is not that they don't have the games mapped out, but remember they want two Christmas Day games?
Mm-hmm.
I still think they're trying to sell those. I could be wrong about that. Like maybe they have a streaming partner or something.
I think one of them got bit. I think one of them, I was reading this a week or two ago. One of them was bidded. I think the other one has not been bought yet.
Yeah, so I think there's still, from what I was told today by some folks at the Bucks, is like, hey, the league isn't quite ready to release it until or unless they get this sort of business deal done, which gives you confidence. But, yeah, so I think that it looks like it's going to be Thursday, and then we'll get to see how the games line up. There's a possible chance, and I don't know how great it is, that the Bucks would play the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, for example. That would be something. And we'll just have to see, when do they go to the West Coast to play the Rams, you know.
When's the last time the Bucks have played on Thanksgiving? Have they before?
They have. The last time they played, glad you asked. I'll tell you what, man, I had to play 2 games in 11 days. You know what I mean? That's unfair. Brad Johnson was a quarterback. I want to say
3 and 11.
What's that?
Wasn't it 3 games in 11 days, right?
Three games in 11 days. Yeah, what did I say? Two? Yeah. 3 games in 11 days. And I believe that Brad Johnson was a quarterback, which would have made it 04, maybe. I want to say 04. I don't know why. But yeah, we went to Dallas. They lost there. It's actually kind of cool. Like, I'm a big Thanksgiving Day guy, so I like to be around family and I love football. But if I'm getting paid to watch football, the one thing I'll say about the Cowboys, I don't know about the Lions necessarily or anybody else that has games on Thanksgiving Day, but man, they put out a spread. Like, I was not missing. Like, I had my turkey, I had my stuffing, I had my cranberry, I had everything. So that was cool.
Did the Bucks ever play at Detroit on Thanksgiving?
They have not.
I mean, they were in the division for years.
All those years, and I do not know. Now, maybe before my time, which is 100 years ago, it's possible that they did, but not during the time that I've covered this team, which was, you know, a long, long-ass time ago. So, no, I do not think. I think the only time they played on Thanksgiving was in Dallas, and that could happen again, or it could happen in Detroit. Like, you get two whacks at it, you know? And then you have the proverbial Christmas Day game, which nobody wants, I assure you, least of all me.
I mean, if you get it, you want a home game, not a road.
You want it
game.
Right here. Yeah, right here, Raymond James, man. Do not put me on the road. We had the one trip a couple years ago. We were on the road for Christmas Eve, and everything was shut down, and that was rough. So, but we'll know, you know, by Thursday night sort of what the fall is going to look like, plan our lives around it, as we always do. With college and NFL football. So it's right around the corner, man. All right. So listen, hey, get your mailbag questions in, because we got time for those. And you can do that by sending them to us on Twitter or X at NFL Stroud at Sports Day TB. Reach me on my email address, rstroud@tampabay.com. The great Mark Topkin, Top Cat, going to talk about these red hot Rays and whether or not he's, you know, liking these new sort of skateboardy jerseys that they've been wearing and all of that. But it certainly has brought them luck. And hey, I would never take them off if I were the Rays. I think they have to stay with it. So we'll talk to Mark later this week as well.
I think he'll be on Thursday's show, I think. We're still nailing Thursday. That down, but yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And then the Bucks begin their mini camp schedule. I told you on Thursday night, we think. It's not official. We'll see. The Bucks begin their mini camp, though, and this is official on Friday and Saturday. The rookies will be in, and it's a rookie mini camp, so we'll get to see a lot of guys that they have drafted, free agents that they brought in, tryout guys, cast 1,000. So that'll be fun to try to watch them run around a little bit and get the first NFL experience. So thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. We're here every Monday through Friday. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.